This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Shh. The Paranormal Classroom.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay. And we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out. All right, welcome to the Paranormal Classroom, where history and mystery meet in the back of the bus. I cracked myself up again. I'm sorry. Today we are heading to the nation's capital in the summer of 1952, when unidentified flying objects buzzed the White House. Not once, but twice.
I'm so glad you're doing aliens.
Listen, you've been on all of Twitter about UFOs, yep. so I had to find a UFO story that
Thank
I hadn't
you.
Heard.
Thank you. I'm excited.
You're so welcome.
Well, welcome, scholars.
Okay.
We always start with what's haunting us. What's haunting you, Lynn?
And then we'll timestamp it so you can skip this if you want to. If you'd like to skip today's What's Haunting You and skip right past the part where we talk about telepathy tapes and a couple kid stories, then go ahead and jump to 9 minutes and 26 seconds. I don't really have anything haunting me today. Just the usual political shenanigans. Did you hear that he's going to open Alcatraz?
No.
Yeah, for undocumented citizens.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would say for ghost hunting. Because that's a popular spot, right?
But he's blaming the courts for wanting to give due process. And then he's offering $1,000 to anyone who self-deports.
I heard that.
I mean, if $1,000 was all it would take for their lives to be perfectly healthy and happy wherever they came from, they would go. But they never would have come here to begin with, right?
Right. What's haunting me is I'm re-listening to the telepathy tapes. I decided to start over again and really listen because I'm really frustrated by the telepathy tapes. And I love the telepathy tapes. And I believe, of course, I'm super open-minded to all kinds of like telepathy, psi abilities. I'm very open to it. What's driving me crazy about the telepathy tapes is some of her experiments and stories she shares are incredible. Like really, really, I would love to keep learning about them and having more experiments. And then she also includes really irresponsible information and research and things like that also that are just not
like what
not reliable. If someone is communicating with a facilitator who's touching them, holding their hand or holding a spelling board that they are moving, it's not trustworthy. It's not reliable. Not like it would be with someone who's spelling independently with no facilitator. But of course, to learn spelling, to learn using the spelling board, there's a gradual release model, right? Like a child would start with hand over hand and then maybe a hand on the forearm and then maybe the elbow, and then maybe the shoulder. Eventually you want to release them to that independent.
But the telepathy tapes, the doctor, the scientist on that, and maybe I've totally misunderstood, the scientist on that is not studying the FC, the facilitated communication. She is studying double blind telepathy, mind reading.
There's one scientist at the beginning, and her name is Dr. Diane.
Yeah.
And she's only in the first few episodes. She's come out on other interviews saying that, you know, she also agrees that some of what Kai is saying is not super, it's just not okay to just be like, you have to believe everything I'm saying or you're mean, you know, like.
Oh, see, I haven't interpreted it that way. I love how she says, in order to be a true skeptic, you have to be open-minded. Mm-hmm. Which I think is true. She says it at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
We've got this truck backing up in front of us. There may be, you may be picking up on maybe something like a little cart before the horse kind of stuff of her excitement for it, getting ahead of the scientific support for it, maybe.
To me, it's hurting her reputation with me.
But she's not a scientist.
She's responsible for the information she's putting out.
A journalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a lot of science. There's a lot of things we don't know. I mean, that's what science is, right? A lot of phenomenon that happens in the world, even still, that we can't explain. Should we not talk about it because we don't have a scientific explanation?
We should absolutely talk about it, and we should do solid experiments on it. But I'm saying there's a big difference between someone who's speaking with a facilitator who's touching and holding their arm and holding the spelling board versus someone who's communicating independently in another room and can still perform incredible feats of just like unbelievable telepathy. And both of those are represented in the podcast. And I would like her to just focus on the ones that are not facilitated. And she doesn't do that.
Interesting, because I haven't even paid attention because it seemed... Obviously, I missed something because for me, I know they've talked about the FC and the controversy with that, but there's several of those kids that have the spelling board themselves.
Yep.
There is nobody.
Yep.
And that's been the ones she's highlighted. To me, those are the ones that I've noticed.
She doesn't always clearly say everything about the experiments and things that are being done. I had to go find out that the mom was touching Mia through the videos that she's put on her website. She doesn't explicitly say it. So that to me feels like she's hiding something. Like she knows that this is something that might frustrate a lot of skeptics, and then she purposefully omits it from her
podcast.
Maybe you
should ask her. You should send a note and ask.
I send her questions all the time.
Oh, do you?
because I'm really passionate about it, because I really do have some belief there, and I really do want this to be something that we study, you know, with great peer-reviewed studies.
Although I don't now because I'm worried about their safety. But
yeah,
they could have done a better job, even with FC, of studying other things beyond just their whatever, their
absolutely.
Hand motions, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So
that's what I hope they're doing
they have,
now. I hope
maybe,
they're doing those experiments
yeah,
now.
Maybe. I think there's a lot of, who knows what they're doing now, if anything. But I totally understand. You want that. You've always liked like the rules and
yeah.
And you know,
I don't want to sift through the sand to find the real gems.
Sure.
I want her to do it.
But I hear you. I hear you on the, I think she got ahead of herself. She was independently produced for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
She now has advertisers and things, but she didn't for like the entire first season. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of like us, you know, we're doing this. No one's fact checking us. I think we've only cited sources twice
yeah,
in
but
9 months.
We regularly say, like, you need to go fact check us.
Sure,
we are not,
that's true.
We don't deep dive. We
that's
are busy
true.
Moms and teachers.
Right.
We just touch on topics and...
For entertainment
purposes
yeah.
only.
Yeah, true. That's true.
I think we've been good about saying that in most of our episodes.
Interesting. I need to pay more attention to that group page.
Yeah. And anyway... I meant for my What's Haunting Me to be really short, but now we're like
well,
16 minutes
in.
It is like 1,000 degrees in here.
We can roll the windows down now because get a little breeze. If I need to turn. You also have a sweater on. You could take your sweater off.
No, I have fat arms.
Oh, God, please put away the arms that look exactly like my arms.
That's the most
ridiculous thing I've ever
heard. I like to look at them. I don't like to.
I understand.
Display them.
I understand. Did I tell you about... Let's call him... We'll call him Devin.
Okay.
Devin...
I already know who you're talking about.
...is a piece of work.
Yes.
And he is a second grader. is in my class, and I have to give proximity, which is fancy talk for I got to sit right next to him so that I can go do this or do that or put this away or
whatever. Teacher proximity.
Yep. Well, I was sitting in a chair in front of him, and I was talking to the rest of the class who was all in front of me. And he's like, "You got ghosts on your arm." And I'm like, "Yes, I do. My tattoo."
Oh, your tattoo. I thought I was seeing something.
You got... Yeah, he's... What do you mean? You got ghosts on your arm. And I'm talking to the class. I'm giving... Then I just go, "Yes, I do." And then I feel this poke on the back of my arm flab, my little my little wing there of like... And then he goes, blah, 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 says the, makes the sound with his mouth and flaps my little
and
arm
wing. You're
in
the middle of teaching.
And I just did this. I turn my head slowly with the most furrowed of brows and I say, "Get off of me."
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious. I have never had a kid like flap my waddle or my arm fat in the middle
That'll
of
That'll be
teaching.
The last time because I will throw my no, I will not. But... They knock on me all the time, and I have a thing. Don't knock on me.
I do not like being touched and tapped. Like teaching kindergarten, what they reach is your bum, your right, like your thigh and your bum. That's where they tap you. I do not like it.
Kids are hilarious. Whatever. So should we get into the story today?
Yes.
Okay. Here goes nothing. Alrighty. Have you ever heard of the UFO incident of 1952 in DC?
I couldn't tell you about it. I feel like vaguely I've heard of something in DC happening, but I could not describe it to you. So I'm excited to
learn. Well, this wasn't just some farmer spotting lights in a cornfield.
It was a bunch of people,
right? Something like that. This was, it was multiple nights, multiple radar systems, and sightings confirmed by pilots, military officials, and regular citizens alike.
Okay, cool.
It's known as the Washington, D.C. UFO incident, or the Washington Flap. And I couldn't really figure out why the flap was
the
thing.
I'll keep it in my head. Maybe we can solve that.
The most publicized sightings took place on consecutive weekends, July 19th through 20th and July 26th through 27th, 1952.
Oh, two weekends, but not during the week. That's
apparently they have the reverse sort of economic schedule that we do of they work weekends.
The aliens are at work on the weekends. Got it.
UFO historian Curtis Peebles called the incident, quote, "the climax of the 1952 UFO flap. Never before or after did Project Blue Book and the Air Force undergo such a tidal wave of reports."
Whoa.
So this went on to become one of the most known UFO sightings ever. It sparked a media firestorm and led to the largest U.S. Air Force press conference since World War II.
That's incredible. This is a great story. Hang on. I'm going to look up what a flap is because I'm... Okay. Well, I mean, obviously flap relates to like a wing or something going up and down.
Sure.
But there are other definitions. One of them is a state of agitation or panic.
There we go. That's it. So it's the UFO panic.
That must be like 50s speak, you know, like they weren't a flap. Wow.
Yeah, they were all such an... Well, and then there's the flappers of the 20s, but I don't know what that means. Okay. So another quick definition. We got a flap down. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Project Blue Book. Most people listening have probably heard that term kicked around. But I just wanted to make sure I gave a quick summary definition. So it's not something you use to price your used car. Same color, different book. Project Blue Book was the code name for the systematic study of unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, by the U.S. Air Force from and there's specific dates, March of 1952, and this incident was in July, so they started before, March of 1952, to its termination on December 17th, 1969. So it was quite a while.
Yeah.
The project was headquartered at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio and was initially directed by a man named Captain Edward J. Ruppelt and followed projects of a similar nature, such as Project Sign and Project Grudge, which...
Oh, great names.
Yeah. I want to be on Project Grudge so
this guy's
bad.
Like Mulder or Fox. It's like Fox. Which one's Fox? Which one's Mulder? Scully. Hang on.
Scully.
Fox Mulder's one person.
Yeah, I think so.
I had to take
yeah, because it's Mulder and Scully. Yeah. She's Scully.
This guy's like Fox Mulder.
Yeah. Project Blue Book had two goals, namely to determine if UFOs were a threat to national security.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And to scientifically analyze UFO-related data.
Okay.
Those were their missions. So the Air Force supplies the following summary of its investigations of the entire Project Blue Book. So just so we know, this is the summary of 17 to 18 years of research in three bullet points. Yep. One, no UFO reported, investigated, and evaluated by the Air Force was ever an indication of threat to our national security.
Well, that's good.
It's also a pretty blanket statement. I guess if it doesn't shoot us in the moment, it wasn't a threat. But in hindsight, it's all hindsight. Turned out they were not a threat. Number two, there was no evidence submitted to or discovered by the Air Force that sightings categorized as unidentified represented technological developments or principles beyond the range of modern scientific knowledge. So none of this was sci-fi tech from the future that we don't already have.
But I hear it as saying it's just that it can't prove that it's not. It just can't prove it. So
that it wasn't kind of no evidence like was no submitted evidence, to right. or discovered by.
So yeah. They have no evidence really.
Supposedly.
Either way.
Although the way it's worded, things. It's almost like you totally have evidence that is above what we beyond what we can do. And number three, there was no evidence indicating that sightings categorized as unidentified were extraterrestrial vehicles.
Okay, but that doesn't say what they are.
No, it just says what they aren't.
What they aren't.
At this point in time. What they do not have proof that they are, aren't.
Right, and it doesn't even mean that they aren't. It's just that they don't have tangible, hard proof. Or that they just don't want to share it.
Mm-hmm. It might as well be like, there is no evidence to support. Not necessarily.
Right. If this is the same malarkey we just went through with the New Jersey drone sightings, where the government was like, they had press releases and a meeting about it that they filmed for TV, and it's the same stuff where they're like, we have no evidence that there's any danger, we have no evidence that it's alien technology, we have no evidence, but they never told us what it was. They were just like, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's global government MO.
Yeah.
Is just sweep it under the rug, tell everybody it's fine, don't worry about it. You're not smart enough to handle it.
It's not what you think it is, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. Get yourself out of that flap, ladies and gentlemen.
So that excuse has been going on since at least 1952.
Since the dawn of
probably earlier.
Time probably.
I need to know why.
So but by the time the Project Blue Book ended, I thought this was interesting. It had collected 12,618 UFO reports.
Wow.
That's a lot. And concluded that most of them were misidentifications of natural phenomena like clouds or stars or conventional aircraft.
I believe that. But what about the 3%? The
right.
1%?
Right.
What are they?
Yep. So 701 reports were classified as unexplained, even after stringent analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still a lot. 701, that's a lot. To me, that's a lot. So in case you're curious, the UFO reports were archived and are available under the Freedom of Information Act, but names and other personal information of all witnesses have been redacted, of course. So all quotes used in this episode today are from individuals directly involved in or witnessing the 1952 Washington, D.C. UFO incident. These include military personnel, air traffic controllers, and government officials.
Love it.
And I did a quick scan or a quick search to see if any of them were problematic or involved in scandal. right? Because in that, talking about credibility earlier, none of the quoted individuals that I will mention tonight are, or today for this episode, are known to be historically controversial or involved in discredited activity.
I find pilots, air traffic control, military people very credible. I do. Like, yes. Mostly.
Okay, so here's some backstory information. Well, trying to debate whether I give you the backstory information first. I'm going to tell you the story. Let me just tell you the story. Scene number one, July 19th, 1952. Radar trouble and strange lights. It all started. No, I won't do the whole thing like that.
I was hoping you would do that 50s voice.
Oh, I totally could. It all started on the night of July 19th, 1952, just before midnight. Air traffic controllers at Washington National Airport noticed something strange. 7 blips on their radar. These objects didn't behave like normal aircraft. They were too fast, changing direction sharply, hovering one moment and then zooming off the next.
I know this story. This is what we see today.
Yep. So not just a glitch. A second radar system at Andrews Air Force Base also picked them up.
Where's Andrews Air Force Base? Is it close to Ohio?
Well, we're talking, this is Washington, D.C.
Oh,
right
D.C.
Now.
Yeah. Sorry, I had that
so
Ohio
Andrews,
one in my
head. Is that Virginia? Let me look. Oh, Maryland. Yeah. So these are all right in
really
close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So then that's Andrews Air Force Base sees it as well on their radar system. And meanwhile, a pilot in the area described seeing bright, fast moving lights overhead. The objects were moving at speeds estimated up to 7,000 miles per hour. Which
Whoa.
Is, oh yeah, way faster than any aircraft we had at the time, frankly. For reference, the fastest jet back then was an F-86 Sabre, and it topped out at about 685 miles per hour.
Oh, wow. Are there any planes today?
And those were in a league of their own. Oh, yeah.
7,000 miles an hour?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, are you Googling that? Which
yeah.
ones? Because you got to hit, I think that's, what is that, Mach 6?
It's Mach 10, getting ready for Mach 10, 7,000 miles an hour. The jet, there's a jet called the X-43A that goes 7,000
so like,
miles an hour.
That's some Top Gun stuff right there.
I guess. You know, we were talking about getting sick on the Harry Potter ride. I think I would get really sick on one of those jets.
Forget, or like the rocket. Like, no, I'm not interested. So Harry Bond, one radar operator, Harry Bonds, later said, quote, we knew immediately that a very strange situation existed. Their movements were completely radical compared to those of ordinary aircraft. The way they talked, like, completely radical.
I love it. You're on a flap. Awesome. You're all in a flap, people.
This is radical. Okay. Then later, a week later, on July 26th, the objects returned, once again spotted on radar and seen visually in the skies over D.C., including near the Capitol building and the White House. Restricted airspace, right? This is restricted airspace, okay. National security level stuff. We've had a major problem lately with military aircraft and commercial aircraft in the DC area. Some near misses, an actual hit, right? Mm-hmm. And these are Black Hawk helicopters. It's a very fishy thing that's going on because they're breaking the rules. They're not supposed to be flying in that space. It's long been an understanding and a legal agreement like this is, but of course, like everything else, it's out the window. So it's dangerous, and I'm not super stoked to fly in to Reagan.
No, in a couple
of months. So
I'm sorry.
No, it is what it is. I guess I could walk, but I'd have to start now. So this time, the Air Force scrambled some F-94 interceptor jets to investigate. But whenever the jets approached, the objects would vanish from radar and reappear as soon as the jets left.
Oh, that's so intelligent. There's
oh, total cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
I love it. So that's a common pattern in UFO reports. One pilot describes chasing a bright light, only to have it disappear before he could get close. He actually radioed in, quote, I saw several bright lights. I was at my top speed and couldn't catch them.
Chinkies.
Schnikies. Roger, roger. All right, so we're going to back up. This is where we're going to back up a little bit. UFO and UAP sightings. Oh, P.S. Just jump in at any point when you have something that you're twiddling.
Okay.
UFO and UAP sightings had been making nationwide headlines since 1947. Okay, about 5 years earlier, when Kenneth Arnold first reported seeing a group of them soaring over Mount Rainier in Washington.
That's in my backyard.
UFOs started it all right here in Washington. Because nice. Of course they did. You look we at that still... mountain. I'd be coming down from space to see that sucker.
The mountain's gorgeous. We still have sightings all the time around Mount Rainier. In fact, there's a place I was going to take you for one of our adventures.
Please take me.
So I like to take Lindsay out for her birthday for adventures. And I owe you one for this year.
You don't owe me anything, but I would love to go do an adventure.
I love doing adventures with you. And I found this guy who has a ranch out on Mount Rainier. He sounds like a kookaburra kind of dude, but...
We'll take weapons.
Yeah, the experience is you can go out on his property and like... stay there, camp there, whatever, and he pretty much guarantees that he's like, every night we have sightings.
Have UFOs? So you can come,
yeah, of doing exactly what you're describing, the like crazy.
Meanwhile, we're all staring
movements.
At the sky and the Sasquatch are loping about because nobody's paying attention to them. They're free as birds over there. Oh yeah, I'm down. Let's
we can
do
see
that.
It all.
I love stargazing anyway.
But I love stargazing. I think it would be really fun.
We could just take my truck, take this.
Okay.
SUV,
sleep in the back.
And just open the hatch, right? And we could put an air mattress in, an inflatable air mattress, and then that's where we sleep. But we could just put out some lawn chairs or mm-hmm. something, or bring a couple of those like folding chaise lounges. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
From the old days.
Yeah, I've got two in my backyard.
You do? Oh, yeah. Put those about out there and then just chill with blankies. And then we get sleepy, we crawl into the back of the truck and lock it.
It sounds like a great adventure, doesn't it? And hopefully we would see something.
And we could get other people to come with us, too. It'd be fun. All right, so the press ran with this 1947 in Mount Rainier, 1947. They ran with the story, and based on Kenneth Arnold's description of their movements, they coined the term...
You want me to guess? I need processing time. Okay. That's why I'm not jumping in as much,
Three,
I think.
Two. I'm just kidding. Flying saucers.
Flying saucers.
That came from right here in our backyard. I love that so much. So many similar tales followed over the years, including the Roswell crash, just weeks after the Arnold sighting. These are all like in pretty quick succession, which I had to put together a chronological timeline of all this because mm-hmm. I was like, this seems like, whoa. Also, for cultural context, this is very much Cuban Missile Crisis days.
I don't know a lot about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
So a lot of fear over Fidel Castro sending missiles our way,
so
and vice
versa. So, of
course,
people are thinking these are missiles.
Everybody's got their eyes to the
terrifying.
Sky. Similar mindset as, like, just post 9/11, when anytime something flew over for a while, we're mm-hmm. like, you just kind of had this PTSD response, this jump, like, wait, is that going to stay
well,
in the sky?
Maybe that's why there were so many sightings, because people had their eyes in the sky. If you're not, like, how often do you really sit and look at the sky?
Right.
I don't think most of us
and
do.
And it becomes a Me Too thing, too. Like, if a few people, if suddenly it's published in a magazine, which mm-hmm. it was, then, like, a big magazine, it lends credibility, and maybe people, crackpots, of course, are going to come out of the woodwork, but so are people who were worried they were going to be labeled as nuts. They may feel validated mm-hmm. to come out.
Can I tell you the
yes,
story real
please,
quick?
Yes, please, jump
in. I used to live in Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is close to, you know, it's close to...
Roswell.
What's the Air Force Base?
Area 51.
Area 51, but also kind of nearby is Roswell. I think it's like 8 hours, Roswell, New Mexico. And
okay, it's that far, okay.
But there's like a highway that goes along the southwest states there where people have a lot of sightings because there's not a lot of population. There's no light pollution. So people see
Beautiful.
All kinds of things. And aliens are kind of a thing down there. And you'll be driving. Like we go.
I love it so much.
Oh my gosh. So we would take all these road trips outside of Vegas. And there's not a lot of places to go.
It's pretty much desert.
It's pretty much desert for 4 hours all the way around Vegas in every direction. But in that 4 hour radius, there's all these teeny tiny little towns, abandoned mining towns. There's neat stuff. But what I was trying to say was there's a lot of people in Nevada in these tiny towns who have obsessions with aliens. And it'll be anything from like driving down the road. And
what else are you going to do? It's aliens or jackalopes.
Yeah, there's not a lot to do down there. But you'll be in a store or something. You stop for gas. You stop to go to a store. You turn a corner around the side of a store. And there's an alien museum.
I love it.
Just sitting there. Just someone's personal collection.
Right.
And it's absolutely terrifying when you go with your kids and they like walk around a corner and they're met with like 50 aliens packed into a bedroom or something.
Oh my gosh.
And it just pops up in all these unexpected places, right? So you stop at a restaurant, you stop at a park, you stop at wherever. There's some wackadoos out there.
I love it.
With a tiny little alien collection.
You got to get in where you fit in. And if that's how you're going to make a buck and you have you know what's famous for it right there, right? Area 51 and everything. Yep. You might as well capitalize on it. And chances are you have some experiences and you have nothing else.
There is a place, I'll tell you, this is like a local thing, that you can't get anywhere near Area 51. You really can't. It's very scary, right? There's people will come out with guns and shoo you away. But there is a small mountain, which is really like a big hill, that has an okay view of Area 51. It's very, very far up. But if you go up that hill, there's no roads or anything. You have to hike out there. You go up the hill, you bring your binoculars. You can see some weird stuff. And you'll find people in Vegas who have done it and have stories of seeing really weird things.
Yeah. Well, and the people that go in and out is weird. There's a there's a private plane that brings workers in every day. I think that's weird.
It is weird.
What are they doing? If there's nothing there, what are we doing? Why so many people, hush hush, need to get in and out of there?
There's a lot more weird stuff about Nevada. Oh, I know. So the whole state of Nevada, basically, other than a couple towns like Reno and Las Vegas, most of the state is owned by the government.
Right. A lot of nuclear testing and stuff.
You know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff, and you can't even tell what it is. You'll be driving, you know, on one of your long, secluded drives from one town to another, and there will be, like, just the sea of bunkers in the dirt. And you try, you're like, you know, it's military. You don't know what's in there. You don't know what they're collecting. Are you driving through a forest of nuclear warheads, or is it an underground tunnel system for
God
the apocalypse?
What?
Like, Nevada is crazy weird.
Agreed.
A neat way. In a neat way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very mysterious and just so blasted hot. It's a brilliant place to do stuff like that, like nuclear test. I mean, not that there's a brilliant place to do nuclear testing, but it's, no one's gonna go out there and F around and find out. It's hot. The end. Okay, so Roswell, and then reports skyrocketed in 1952 with sightings seemingly occurring all across America, including in D.C., the other Washington, which caused panic, a flap, that an attack may be imminent.
But now, a lot of this could just be people's imagination running away with them. So the original reports, to me, are more believable than the sea of reports that are coming in.
The 1947 Mount Rainier one?
I don't know, but I kind of believe the Mount Rainier
one. Because that was kind of what kicked it off.
But you're saying that it's getting in the news and people are starting to report it all over the nation. That, I think, might be people getting a little...
Yeah. So the big thing that set everybody off, and I'm showing Amanda a picture of it, was a Life magazine article. So Life magazine, huge at the time.
Yeah.
Very reputable, famous publication. April 7th, 1952, for 20 cents, you could get a copy of Life magazine with Marilyn Monroe on the cover. So this was in her heyday as well. God, what a time. UFOs and Marilyn Monroe. There was an article called, Have We Visitors from Space? What a strange way to word that. And it was an article on flying saucers by H.B. Darrach Jr., or Darrach, or Darrach, D-A-R-R-A-C-H, and Robert Ginna, that appeared in, like I said, Life magazine. There is a case for interplanetary saucers, and that's right above Marilyn Monroe's head. On Life magazine.
Wow, that must have been wild to see on the shelves.
So crazy.
What does it say?
Have we visitors from space?
How we collect information.
The piece was strongly sympathetic to the hypothesis that UFOs might be the product of extraterrestrials. In other words, it's like lending credibility where there is none. Sure seems like we got a bunch of aliens out there flying around. Harry, whatever your name is. So, publicity surrounding this piece is believed to have contributed to the 1952 UFO flap, a subsequent wave of reports that summer. Okay, so then, July 26th, don't we did that already? Let's scoot. Here's a chronological list of UFO-related events leading up to this 1952 flap, including dates and locations. And I'll go through this fast, but these are key UFO-related events leading up to the 1952 event in D.C. April 3rd, 1952, Associated Press reported on the Life magazine story. April 7th, 4 days later, delete. April 3rd, they reported, the Associated Press reported on the upcoming Life magazine story. So they're like pre-funkin' for this article coming out. Okay. Then April 7th, the article comes out. Have we visited us from space? May 12th, 1952. Here's another hometown connection. Seattle, Washington. An explosion in Seattle led to public speculation about a flying saucer. So I Googled that. Found a website, Weird Historian. So when a mysterious blast, which rumbled like a freight train, quote unquote, rocked Seattle in May of 1952, it was expected. Why it was expected, I don't know, but it says it was expected that flying saucers would be an early suspect.
They talk weird.
They do.
Is that saying that they don't know what caused the explosion?
According to this, I was like, what could it be? Well, at the end, there's a meteorological theory, hypothesis.
Could it be something breaking the sound barrier?
Not at that time. No, but more than likely it was a meteor, like an asteroid meteor type of thing. So the blast even included an eerie blue-white light at an estimated 2,000 feet in elevation, visible from 60 miles away. It was a sort of lights on, lights off thing, says a weather observer.
Lights on.
Everything turned blue. He also said he had witnessed fireballs plummeting to the ground.
Whoa.
Yeah. So given everything going on, it certainly seemed like, to the people back then, the stuff of saucers. Yet, scientists stepped in quickly with a widely accepted explanation. A meteor had exploded and disintegrated as it entered Earth's atmosphere. The lack of flying saucer hypotheses was so unusual, though, that it, too, was worthy of a story. So, the fact that it wasn't attributed to flying saucers became the story. Like, well, why not? What do you got against saucers? Why couldn't it be a saucer, Tommy?
How can not be saucer?
The fact that you're saying it, you didn't say that it could be, means that you think it was. You're hiding something.
They're like very dramatic.
They're getting so dramatic.
So frustrating. It's just like
it's all for ratings.
Telepathy tapes. I feel like there's a nugget of truth in there, of like possible incredible phenomena, and then all these other people.
Imagine selling that story. There's a nugget of truth to this phenomena in here somewhere. Buy it and see if maybe it's interesting. You're not selling that paper.
No, I know, but all the sensationalism draws attention away from what really could have been real.
Sensationalism.
Oh, I know we
do. It goes back to the Puritans. I'll blame them for everything. Okay, so after this stuff, June of 1952 in L.A., UFO report was filed by Hughes Aircraft Company. And that was problematic, of course, too. July 1st, that's when we scrambled some more jets to intercept a UFO over Boston. And we have sightings in Colorado Springs, Rapid City, South Dakota, Kutztown, Pennsylvania, Quantico, Virginia, Northern Illinois, Williams Bay, Wisconsin, Chesapeake Bay, Virginia, and then to D.C.
Everyone,
so those were all leading up
to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These events reflect a significant increase in UFO sightings, allegedly, and reports leading up to the notable DC incidents, contributing to what became known as the 1952 UFO flap. So after the second wave of sightings, we're almost done here, the public panic set in. Headlines like "Saucers Swarm Over Capitol" ran in newspapers across the country.
Yeah.
Yep. Within days, the U.S. Air Force held a press conference, the biggest since World War II. And you could see this video. We'll link it on our socials because the video is pretty interesting. I got it, downloaded it from our National Archives.
Cool.
And they don't do that. At this time, anyway, they still don't. They don't do that for just any old sighting, right? So this happens. It's a big deal to have a press conference. And it was the biggest military press conference since the World War II.
Well, it's like we just had one on the New Jersey drones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at that conference, Major General John Samford offered an official explanation. Temperature inversions.
Oh, someone's always got an explanation.
Yep. That's when warm air traps cooler air near the ground, sometimes causing radar reflections that appear as false targets.
Wait, that appear as a saucer?
Yeah.
That's his explanation for seeing a saucer in the sky?
Seven of them or whatever. Like, it was multiple and multiple times.
No, that's a stretch. That's a stretch to me.
Agreed. And he says it in a lot more words than that, too, which is annoying. It's like, land the plane, buddy. So it doesn't explain the visual sightings or the way these things moved at all. It just is touching on the radar readings, what might have affected radar readings. So many experts, including some inside the military, weren't convinced.
No, I'm not convinced, because you have your data corroborated with sightings from people. So it's not just radar.
Right.
People are seeing it at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. No.
It's like, well, I answered your question. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I just answered your question. I mean, we're seeing a lot of that in the media.
Oh, right now.
Answer
so much.
The question that I asked. We're seeing it in Congress, all over the place. No, that's not what I asked. Mm-hmm. Answer the question I asked. Stop skating, man. I swear that some of these politicians, there must be like an underground training program for how to dodge and weave questions.
It's the art of the deal.
The art of the deal. Bankruptcy. Okay. Many experts, like I said, blah, blah, blah. Okay. The public got the weather glitch explanation behind the scenes. Project Blue Book, the Air Force's secret UFO investigation, was taking detailed notes. So everybody, every normal Joe Schmo was getting this weather phenomenon explanation. But meanwhile, Project Blue Book is like going crazy with other possibilities.
Right.
They probably didn't do it in Morse code. That was just a fun sound to me. So these incidents, again, were officially classified as, quote, unknown.
Uh-huh.
And I have a little graphic for you here to show you the peak of reports in July of that year. So of UFO reports. So here's where the Life magazine article was published. Yeah. And blah, 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 boom. It's called the Frequency of Unidentified Flying Object Reports. And then we have...
And these are just reports. So this is different than a chart that would show the ones... You said there were 700 that Project Blue Book found
this
unidentified.
This is just blanket
That's
reports.
That's all like all however many there were.
13,000 or something. So what were they? This is where we get into theories, like we often do. Some believe the sightings were advanced Soviet aircraft testing U.S. air defenses. And we failed if we're just going to say that's weather. That's a little frightening. Others think they were experimental U.S. tech, and the panic was just a cover story.
That makes sense to me, in the sense that if they're going to be doing, the government has every right to build things, kind of keep them secret so that it doesn't get out to our adversaries or whatever, and then they can't let them. Yeah, I can see it being.
But why confuse your own radar teams, the military radar teams?
I guess they're considered normies, like most people. Like, there's probably only a very tiny percentage of people who are allowed to know what's really going on. A very small percentage of people.
Yeah. I just feel like you might want to let somebody know.
You
to, like,
think, but...
start singing happy birthday and bringing a cake or something when you're about to fly over so that nobody's paying attention to the radar blips, because that's what triggered the news about it.
Right.
It's interesting. So then we are left with the classic, could it have been extraterrestrial? Something intelligent, curious, fast. The way these objects reacted to our jets was almost like they were watching us watch them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Some people are scared by that kind of thing. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Come on down.
Well, I mean, how Save long us. Have we had sightings? We've had sightings. We have, like, petroglyphs of
yes,
weird things.
Yes, exactly.
And there are stories of people having scary experiences, but I would say for the most part, nothing scary has really happened to the masses, so I'm not afraid of them
It's kind of like with humans on walking around, right? Like, mm-hmm. most of us can go about our everyday just fine. Occasionally, one of us victimizes another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure the same as if there's extraterrestrials, I'm sure it's the same for them. Like... most of them are going to be good, and occasionally you're going to get a bad one who wants to run some experiments or do weird sexual things. I don't know.
The
stories that you hear are vast.
Yeah.
So whether you believe it was aliens, a top secret government cover-up, or something we still can't explain, the 1952 DC UFO incident remains one of the most compelling cases of UFOs in American history. It left behind radar data, official reports, but also a whole lot of questions, like they always do. So it definitely earns a spot in, like, weirdest field trips ever, for sure.
It's a good one because there's so many witnesses. Miles are my favorite kind of stories.
Yeah.
That really get my curiosity buzzing.
Yeah. We could also post on our socials, too, detailed chronological of names, who they were, where they were, and what they said at the time. So I have quotes from all that time. Most of them I already read, but one that's funny. Howard Conklin was an air traffic controller on July 19, 1952 at Washington National Airport. His quote is, "Did you see that? What the hell was that?"
I love that. That's a great quote to have. You know, what was the guy who had a radio show around this time, or it might have been earlier in the 20s or something. But there was a guy who's super famous. He was talking about the invasion of aliens, and people believed it. It was just a radio story, but people believed it was real.
It was a major ethical dilemma.
Major.
It was for entertainment.
I mean, people committed suicide over it because they were so frightened. They thought that it was really happening.
Yeah, it was wild. But
what was that called, though? I feel like
Google it. There's a lot of podcasts about it, and of course other videos and TV shows and things too. What was it?
Okay, it was The War of the Worlds.
It was a radio drama
from 1938. And the radio drama made it sound like it was very real. People on the news were like, this is happening. Take cover. It's
what
a Martian
year was
invasion.
It?
1938. And
this is 20 years prior.
Narrated by Orson Welles.
That's right.
An adaptation of H.G. Wells' novel, The War of the Worlds.
And they said many times, this is a theatrical presentation.
Yeah, but if you tune in the middle of
it.
Well, maybe they ignored it, but also if you tune in the middle.
I call that a thinning. That is a culling of the dumbasses.
We have a sci-fi.
I feel the same way now about stuff.
We have a sci-fi museum in Seattle.
We do?
Yeah. Well,
MoPop.
MoPop and then the EM.
Nope. No, it's MoPop. All MoPop.
MoPop has sci-fi they section. Do. And a long time ago, I went and I got to listen to this recording. And if
you
only
listen to it on YouTube too.
Yeah. And if you only listen to, because they don't announce that it's not real super frequently. Like if you catch the right 5-minute chunk, you're not going to know that it's a radio drama.
And you had nothing else. There was no other, there wasn't TV news where you could like check a different source. It was that radio
was
or nothing.
That or Little Orphan Annie on the other channel. And
yeah. It was a major ethical moment in broadcast history for sure. A lot has been learned since then. What not to do.
Yes.
But it was also a brilliant example of Foley art. They did so many cool sound effects, and it was awesome.
That's cool.
But it was gruesome. It was really gruesome. People died in the story. They were zapped and vaporized and taken, and it was terrifying.
I was 38. I wonder when stories of UFO and invasions and stuff started really coming about in like our books and our radios shows.
Well, let's take a look.
How far back that goes.
Let's take a look.
Like in the 1600s, were people writing sci-fi stories in the 1600s? I don't know. But I guess you could go back. I've been listening to this musical called Epic on YouTube, which I totally recommend. Everybody listening.
Kindergartner told me about it.
Go check out Epic. The musical on YouTube is written by a guy named Jorge Rivera Herranz in Puerto Rico. He's like the new Lin-Manuel Miranda.
About time we got a new one.
Oh, it's so incredible. But that, you know, is the Odyssey and the Iliad. Those are old stories, and I guess you could kind of consider them science fiction because it's about gods and goddesses and crazy adventures.
So the earliest fictional stories featuring aliens and UFOs appear to have emerged in the late 19th century. So the late 1800s. So Camille Flammarion's Le Monde Imaginaire, Le Monde Real, no idea if I said that right, and Lumen, much easier to say.
Wait, isn't that light?
I think
Lumen,
so.
Lumen, light?
Something like that. Featured genuinely alien life forms. And then, of course, H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds was first published in installments in 1897 and as a full novel in 1898. So these mofos just weren't literate. Like, there weren't a lot of books. And you hadn't read that in the last 40 years? Then that radio show comes on, rocks your world, and you kill yourself? I don't know. Maybe. If it weren't that, it was going to be something.
I don't know that you can think that the majority of people would read a popular book. I mean, I guess.
I sort of feel like
Harry Potter. If you haven't read Harry Potter, haven't heard of Harry Potter and what happens in Harry Potter. Where are you living?
And yeah, there were a lot of books to choose from, I suppose.
Well,
but it was a prominent, or like it was, I don't know. I still think, don't be rash, people. Like, don't kill or be killed because of something you hear on the media. Like, take a beat. Maybe ask around. Call a neighbor. Check with your mom. Call your dad.
I really want to see a UFO. I want to see something.
Let's make it happen.
UAP, unexplained aerial.
I've seen one.
There's a group
that I know of for sure.
You know, I told you I've been really into alien research, if you want to call it that. I've been really into like current stories
watched that,
and things.
That
yep, I watched the
show. Yeah,
it's called
I
The Program.
Will. Yeah,
it's a documentary on Prime. It's really good and really current. I've been really into it. And there's a group called Sky Watchers who use telepathy to, this is what they claim. They claim they can use, they go out in the desert. They claim they're using telepathy to communicate with something out there. And then they, and then after communicating for a bit or sending their vibration or whatever they think they're doing, they will see like that crazy phenomena of things that are in the sky and move in unbelievable speeds in crazy directions that defy physics. And those sky watchers believe that they can kind of like call them,
mm-hmm.
call them out. That's what you and I need to do. When we go to Mount Rainier, we need to kind of research that, find out how the sky watchers do it, and then try it out there in the field by Mount Rainier.
Let's do it. I'm totally down. Here's one of my favorite quotes. Albert Chopp, who was quoting Lieutenant William Patterson. So, this is at the Washington Radar Center. So, according to Albert Chopp, Patterson said, "I see them now and they're all around me. What should I do?" Because he was a pilot. Patterson was. And then Chopp says, "And nobody answered because we didn't know what to tell him."
That's really cool.
Isn't that great?
That's a cool story. Yeah, to be in the air when that's happening would be a whole different level of fear than being down on the ground.
Yep. I think it's great. I love it. I love it. So, homework. Obviously, if you've spied a UFO or a UAP or had any sort of experience, and don't, like, if it was a legit thing where you were like, this is unidentified to me, and I feel like it might have been, just tell us. Like, that's mine with Arizona. This sucker was not moving like anything I had ever seen. I had willed it to happen. I swear I did.
Maybe
I went down there.
Maybe you did the Skywatcher thing.
I went down there with the intent to see it.
Wow.
And it was like, here I am. Like, first night. Let's do this. And then I didn't see it again. So, look at that cloud formation ahead. It looks like a flying saucer.
Some people really think that those clouds are flying saucers, or they're hiding them. What are they called? Lenticular clouds or something?
That's a funny cloud.
I gotta look up the name.
It's almost like a negative of a cloud. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It looks like a cloud made up of the absence of clouds.
Lenticular. I had it. Sometimes my brain pulls out good stuff.
We have such cool cloud formations in this part of the world.
Yes, we do. But so that particular cloud that looks like a flying saucer is called a lenticular cloud.
We get big, thick ones over Mount Rainier all
the
time.
Yeah, we do.
It's awesome. But I have pictures of when I should find it on my phone for our socials. It's pretty awesome. It's totally a lenticular cloud, but it looks like... Okay, we see you. Totally see you. You are not hiding very well.
But see,
yeah, it looks like that.
Here's a picture of a lenticular cloud that really, it really does look like a saucer. I think the big difference is that they don't shoot up at 7,000 miles
right.
an hour.
The ones that are the most fascinating to you, the most believable as being, what the heck is that, are the ones like on SW Ranch where it's these mm-hmm. little things just zipping in and out of the mountain and out of the water. Or on that one with the guy in Vegas. Who researches them, who's been the UFO journalist for decades, whatever his name is. He's a cool dude, and he has seen video of them going in and out of the water. And
yeah, USO. Things. There's also USOs, unidentified submersible objects.
So when you're under the
water, should be the ones that go underwater. And then a lot of them, they have reports of them doing both, like being up in the sky and going in the water.
I think there are bases in the oceans, because what better place to hide? Yeah, I also am blown away by the intelligence of squids and octopuses and think, what if they're extraterrestrial? Like, they're not extraterrestrial, obviously. They're subterrestrial. They're in the water. They're in the water. But, man, I've seen some octopuses open peanut butter jars faster than a 10-year-old boy.
That's crazy. Yeah, they're really cool.
That's maybe not the only evidence you need to support them being aliens, but it's a good start. Well, that's all I got tonight. I just wanted to give you a little fix within your obsession lately for UFOs.
I love it. Thank you.
I think it's awesome that flying saucers originated here in Washington State at Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
You're welcome, America. Alrighty, folks. Well, that's it. That's a wrap.
All right. Class dismissed.
And don't open the door!